From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. John West, author of Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing, and What We Can Do About It. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
Welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, a podcast that is deeply committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds. And today will be, I say this every time, probably should mix this up a little bit, but I'll just say it. Today is no exception. I mean, in fact, today may be one of the most important podcasts you've ever listened to, period. It's based on a book called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. And when I was thinking about this just before I walked into the studio, I thought about something that I memorized a long time ago. It's Paul's farewell address to the Ephesians, where he says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will come to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season." And then something else he said is, "And now compelled by the Spirit," this is in Acts chapter 20, I think, "and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again. Therefore, I testify to you that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, because I have not hesitated to preach the full counsel of God." And then he said, "Take care of yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day, with tears." And I think this book, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, is a warning to the body of Christ. It's a warning not to capitulate to the culture, but to transform the culture. Anyway, with that, let me introduce our guest. His name is Dr. John West. He's vice president and senior fellow of the Discovery Institute in Seattle. I love Seattle. He serves as managing director of the Institute's Center for Science and Culture. And by the way, he co-founded that center with philosopher of science Stephen Meyer, who we love, way back in 1996. His current research examines the impact of science and scientism on public policy and culture. His other areas of expertise include constitutional law, American government and institutions, and religion and politics. John West holds a PhD in government from Claremont Graduate University and was previously an associate professor of political science at Seattle Pacific University, which is a university that we're going to talk about some in this podcast. And at that university, he chaired the Department of Political Science and Geography, and he has directed a dozen documentaries. He's written or edited some 13 books, including the book we're going to be talking about today, his most recent book, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. And the subtitle's important, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It. John, it is an honor to have you on the Hank Unplugged podcast.
Oh, Hank, it's an honor for me to be on. I mean, the work of Christian Research Institute from the days of Walter Martin when I was growing up to your wise stewardship. I mean, it's one of the lights, I'd say, in American culture and American Christianity, of really giving wise discernment. And you've had an influence for decades. And so it's a real privilege to join you.
Well, thank you, John. And I hope this is a book every single podcast listener will get. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. I think it's a very important and timely book. It's called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. And if you're watching this, as opposed to just listening to this, you can see the cover. And that's the very first thing I want to ask you about, John, is the cover, because it really is descriptive of what the content of this book is all about.
Yeah, so it just stuck with me, this imagery of wolves and sheep, but a little bit different than what people might be expecting. So the idea is that the sheep, if you see in the picture, are surrounding the wolf like he's their friend. And so you have the wolf in the fold, you know, doing bad things, but the Stockholm Syndrome Christians really, I think, are the sheep who are misled and actually think that the wolf is someone that they can identify with, when in fact the wolf really wants to eat them up.
So we've sort of defined what Stockholm Syndrome Christianity is. And you say that most Christians in America grow up in cultural captivity. They're immersed in a cultural battle to genuine Christianity. So they take on the trappings of the culture as opposed to transforming the culture.
Yeah. And I, you know, when I was thinking about this and praying about it, this image came for me. You know, some people may know a little bit about the history of Stockholm Syndrome. This was this infamous bank robbery in the 1970s in Stockholm, Sweden, where a bunch of bank workers were taken hostage. But the strange thing that happened was after that experience, many of those hostages had grateful feelings toward their hostage takers, toward the criminals. And so some psychologists, in psychology, it's quite controversial, so I'm not claiming that good or bad, but this insight that sometimes when you're in this stressful situation or held captive or in an abusive situation, that one strategy that some people adopt is they end up adopting the point of view of their captors. For me, that really hit home to the people that who I knew as when I was at a Christian college and in my work at Discovery, where I've seen people go off the rails. They basically are adopting the point of view of their cultural captors. And I think that, you know, these people, in some sense, are personally sincere. But again, their worldview is becoming indistinguishable from the secular elites that they really should be a missionary to. You know, we're called to be salt and light. So we should be representing truth to the secular world. But in many cases, these Stockholm Syndrome Christians are becoming missionaries for the secular elites to their fellow Christians.
Yeah. And you, in the book, cite a university that you were an associate professor at, Seattle Pacific University, as sort of a microcosm of what this book is all about.
Yeah. So as many people, and probably many of your listeners know, universities in America, when they got started, like Harvard, Princeton, Yale, were devoutly Christian institutions, many devoutly even evangelistic. But then by the 19th century, many of them had started to fall away. And so evangelical Christians started a whole new slew of Christian universities in the mid to late 19th century to sort of uphold the faith. And many of those have done great work over the years. But what I experienced at my university, and I think is in microcosm what's happening elsewhere in the last couple of decades, particularly, really, they're falling in the same direction, you know, kowtowing to the secular elites. And so what I saw at my institution is, in a way, we're kind of sad, because the more intentional we got about Christianity in our marketing to parents, because that was sort of the marketing niche, the less it actually reflected in the classroom. So at the same time we were marketing Christian, we were hiring people who were further from orthodoxy. You know, students were getting heartbroken. I mean, I had students come in, you know, seeking counsel from their religion classes, where they were being taught that open theism, the idea that God himself doesn't know the future. And as a political scientist, I was giving them resources for more orthodox things that they weren't being assigned. So it wasn't just that they were being exposed to false ideas like God doesn't know the future. it was they were only being exposed to that view. They weren't being given the orthodox, you know, responses. And so I saw just how devastating this was in students' lives. And that was hard. And then, you know, on a lot of other issues, it began to, you know, they began to hire again people. When I came there, actually this sort of summarizes my experience and summarizes the problem of why institutions like that slide. So when I came to Seattle Pacific, I was warned by some fellow faculty members, oh, we have a really theologically conservative board of trustees. They just denied tenure to someone in the, you know, school of theology because they were, you know, regarded as heterodox. But little did they know, you know, in my heart I was saying, great, you actually have a board who's upholding the mission of the institution. But then fast forward 12 years when I decided to leave, one of my last battles was just trying to defend a faculty member who had been hired and basically was being got rid of and denied tenure because he was too theologically and also politically conservative.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. John West. What if American culture isn't collapsing because of crusading secularists? What if it's failing because many leading Christians identify more with secular elites than with their fellow believers? Those are the provocative questions posed by John West in his book, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, which exposes how influential Christian leaders are siding with their anti-Christian cultural captors on everything from biblical authority and science to sex, race, and religious liberty. To receive your copy of Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a special fiscal year-end gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Now here again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. John West, as they continue their conversation.
When I left, one of my last battles was to try to defend a faculty member who had been hired and basically was being got rid of and denied tenure because he was too theologically and also politically conservative. So he had alienated people, even though students loved him. He was a vibrant Christian. I think he was one of the best hires in the years I was there. And then at that point, the board didn't protect him. So we went from a board actually upholding the standards of the faith to 12 years hence, basically allowing the increasingly woke faculty and administrators to do whatever they wanted. And that emasculation of the board, where the board was convinced to defer everything to the faculty and staff, because, you know, the board isn't an expert. So just trust the faculty and staff and don't exercise oversight. That was the downfall of the institution, in my view.
Yeah, and you know, maybe this is a little off point, but I think the fact that you were a professor at a professed Christian university highlights the reality that parents have to be very careful about where they send their children. In fact, you have a guideline that helps people when they're trying to determine where they're going to send their children to university.
Yeah, so this is, I do have a heart for this because I saw parents and children mortgage their future going into tens of thousands of dollars of debt solely because they thought they were going to integrate, you know, their faith with their learning, which is a great idea. But in fact, the opposite was happening. And so, you know, they were basically sending, I mean, one other example while I was there, it was just tragic. You know, a student who actually wrote something for the student newspaper about how by the time they got through the theology classes, how their faith was almost destroyed because they were taught that the Bible really isn't historically accurate. They were taught, you know, all sorts of things that they shouldn't be paying attention to. This was from a validly evangelical Christian institution. And so I do think that parents need to be very careful. In some cases, it's actually maybe better to send your kids to a secular school that has some devout Christian ministries on there than to send them to an quote-unquote Christian university where, you know, the walk and the talk are different. And so, but there are ways you can find out. I mean, even at my institution, if you knew the questions to ask, you would determine pretty carefully. And so actually on my website, johngwest.com, I have a free sort of series of 10 questions parents can ask when evaluating a Christian college. And just one example, it's hard to know exactly what's happening in the classroom, but in most Christian institutions, their chapel program, whether it's required or not, those things now post-COVID are posted online. And so you can get an idea of, well, what speakers are they bringing to chapel? Are they bringing speakers who, say, defend a pro-life stance or biblical sexuality or the historical truth and integrity of the Bible? Or are they not? I mean, if they're going with increasingly woke speakers or speakers who aren't really getting at the culture pressure points that are on Christianity today, that is a big warning sign because that's who they're valuing, who they're bringing to campus. And then, you know, there are a lot of other, you know, questions. A lot of even Christian colleges have campus health centers. Well, do they refer people to Planned Parenthood in those campus health centers? In their theology schools, how many are members of the Evangelical Theological Society, which has a statement on biblical inerrancy? At our school, they boasted that they didn't have any members of the Evangelical Theological Society because they would have had to affirm biblical inerrancy. Now, we may talk later about some of the challenges, even in ETS, because definitions of trying to redefine inerrancy. But I mean, when you have people boasting that they won't even join because, you know, they don't even want to say that they believe the Bible is inerrant, then I think, you know, that's a warning sign. So there are lots of key questions that you can ask recruiters to really glean some things about those institutions. But I do, you know, if you have a passion for your kids and you want them to get a good Christian education, that's an honorable and great thing. But don't think that what the PR for the school is the same. Like I said, in the 12 years I was at Seattle Pacific, they did a marketing study that made their marketing more intentionally Christian, while what was happening in the classroom was going in the other direction.
Yeah, wow. And you mentioned this a few times in your comments just now. There's a dismissive view of the Bible, and I think it really begins with that.
I agree. And so chapter one of my book is about that. You know, it's called Merely Human, because that everything else, whether you talk about sex, race, religious liberty, science, it all flows, you know, a lot of the errors from first you surrender the Bible. And I don't think that people are sufficiently aware of just how much that is happening. And we can talk some specifics. And that's, by the way, what made my book controversial. You know, this was ultimately published by Discovery Institute Press. I had an agent who was really well connected, who sold lots of books and got some interest, but they regarded it as too hot to handle. There was one publisher that I'm not going to mention that was very interested, but I had to give a list of everyone who I critiqued in the book. And when they saw, especially one named Andy Stanley, that killed the book. They weren't allowed to publish a book that criticized him.
It's so interesting, because I published my first book in 1993, and it was called Christianity in Crisis, and I overtly named names in that book. Because if you go through the Bible, you know that this is a pattern. I mean, St. Paul certainly did it. And it's not gratuitous. It's not to be mean. But there's a purpose for naming names if it's done in the right way and in the right context and with solid evidence, as you do in your book. You just mentioned Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley very clearly has said that the Old Testament is an obsolete testament. And he said much, much more in this regard. So it's not just a flippant statement that could be taken out of context. In context, he disparages the Old Testament as a testament that is detrimental to anyone's Christian faith. I mean, the statements are mind-blowing.
It is. And, you know, there was a kerfuffle when he gave some lectures based off of that. And, you know, people were saying, oh, things were taken out of context. So I don't deal with some of his public statements. I deal with the book he wrote, Irresistible, where he gives his fullest explanation of this view. And you're exactly right. He not only calls it the obsolete testament, he says that we should reorder our Bible so it's put to the back of the Bible. He basically blames everything bad, including, get this, anti-Semitism, on Christians believing in the Old Testament. So in some strange way, some perverse way, he's actually blaming, you know, Jews for their own persecution, because it's Christians believing in the vengeful God of the Old Testament is leading to, you know, Jewish anti-Semitism. I mean, it is a really, and this is not how a spirit-filled or, you know, Orthodox pastor should talk about God's holy word. And so that whole book is dismissive. And just to be clear, you know, obviously Christians, have always regarded, we don't believe in the Old Testament in quite the same way as Jews do, because we think Jesus fulfilled like the sacrificial system. So Christians have always understood that. That's not what Andy Stanley is arguing. Andy Stanley, as you point out, calls the whole thing obsolete, says, you know, we should just, and he also says actually in that book that the Bible is no longer defensible in public. And so he cedes so much ground. And this is a minister, you know, Andy Stanley. I was ordained as an elder in a Presbyterian denomination. Andy Stanley is Baptist, but I was instructed as a Presbyterian elder, we were given some of Andy Stanley's books, because he prides himself as being a leader among leaders who is mentoring a whole new generation of pastors around the world. So I agree, you know, don't try to be gratuitous in this book. And, you know, there are a number of things that I share where I don't name people because they're not public figures, but it's still important insight. But with public figures, public teachers, like Andy Stanley, I think it is important to name names, or else people will be, you know, not on guard and they won't realize what's happening. And so, yeah. Andy Stanley is really bad news. And I start with his view of the Bible. I'm so glad that you highlighted his views on the Bible, because more recently, some of his defenders have gotten squeamish because, you know, he's also been very squishy, if worse than squishy, on same-sex marriage and things, which is important. But his views of the Bible and biblical authority on the Old Testament, or the lack thereof, predate those things. And so that's the other thing, is things don't stay the same. Once you start conceding ground and bashing the Bible in some areas, I mean, you're basically, you're on the wrong road. And you can actually see that in Andy Stanley. It didn't just stay with the Old Testament.
You know, John, I wonder when we're talking about this subject, how someone can say the things that he says. I'm talking about specific statements, which you cite in your book. How they can say that if you ever have read through the Bible comprehensively. In other words, if you have some sense of how the testaments fit together, how you have the types and shadows in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament, you know, it's a congruent whole. It's a pattern that you can't disrupt. You can't try to dissect improperly. It seems to me that someone like Andy Stanley, it seems like he would have some kind of understanding of the scripture. And therefore, the question comes to mind, is he doing this gratuitously or does he just not know any better?
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. John West. Our unwavering mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend and proclaim the faith once for all given to the saints and equip believers to live as genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your special fiscal year-end gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of the book by John West, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, that's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. And you can also write CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.